1 Samuel chapter number 18. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul," that being David, "that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants." I'd like to bring us back in verse number 5 there. The Bible says, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and these next four words, and behaved himself wisely. We'll take a few moments this afternoon and just speak to the subject of how to live wisely in a foolish world. How to live wisely in a foolish world. Let's open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the scriptures. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Lord, I thank you for the good day that we've had so far. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we get into the message here this afternoon. I pray that the words that come out of my mouth be your words and not my words. I pray the message that is received by the hearers would be the same message that you've given to me. Lord, I pray that you would help me, help calm my nerves, calm my spirits. Lord, calm my words. Lord, help me to be able to speak for you. Lord, I pray you give us a wonderful rest of the service today. Lord, I think about those who are in the hospital right now, especially Miss Rachel Rawls and Brother Doug. Lord, and the families, Lord, that are down sick, I pray you'd put your hand of healing on them. Please give us a wonderful rest of the service in your precious son's name. Amen. By way of introduction here this afternoon, I thought it wise to look at some definitions for the words that we're looking at here this afternoon. The word wisely simply means to be prudent, to understand, to make wise. It describes being attentive with scrutiny, resulting in one becoming wise and insightful. If you're like me, you go, okay, well, what does prudent mean? Because I don't know it off the top of my head. The word prudent means cautious, circumspect, practically wise, careful of the consequences of the enterprises, measures, or actions. Cautious not to act when the end is of doubtful utility or probably impractical. Okay, what's the opposite of prudent? The answer would be foolish or folly. You say, how would you know that? Well, I looked in the scriptures. Okay, so often when you see a prudent man being given as an example on the opposite side, you see foolish being given on the other. To quote some verses for you, we have Proverbs chapter number 12, verse number 23, where the Bible says, "A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of the fools proclaimeth foolishness." Proverbs 14:15 says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." Proverbs 15:5 says, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." Proverbs 15:5. I put that one in there twice. Gotta love how your notes tend to repeat themselves when you put them in there twice, right? Okay. So by way of introduction, how to live wisely in a foolish world, we can oftentimes look at the world that we are living in and tell the people that we should be following. I think about that as we get ready to go down to Washington, D.C. here in a couple weeks. I just emailed out our itinerary for Brother Matthew, Brother Nick Bender, and I even sent it to one of our college students, Brother Caleb Donahoe, down in Vision Baptist College, because he might be coming up to meet us. And I think through that and I go, okay, I think it is wise for us to have a plan when we go down there to Capitol Hill. You say, why is that? Because I can only imagine as we get down to Capitol Hill looking for parking around the Capitol. You say, well, that can't be that bad. It is. That's why we already reserved parking in the parking garage. Okay, you think through this, look, living wisely in a foolish world, looking at David here, we're going to see three things that we can take from David's life and apply them to our life here this afternoon. And I promise you we'll be quick here this afternoon. Okay, number one, what we see is having a relationship with God. David had a relationship with God. Okay, and when reading this portion of scripture, we no doubt can look back at the previous chapter, 1 Samuel chapter number 18, we see it start out that it came to pass that when he was in speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Okay, if we look back into the past, we see one of David's greatest victories that happened in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. If I were to ask you today, what happened in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, and I went David versus Goliath. Okay, so we know what happened there. We have Goliath who comes out. He stands before the armies of the Israelites for 40 days, and he stands there and calls out and says, "Would you send me a man to battle?" Okay, no doubt by the 40th day, if it were me, I'd be sitting there going, "You're telling me there ain't one guy that you can send down here?" But you imagine as the Israelites are standing there and they're watching as Goliath is challenging them. You've got David who rolls up. Why? Because his dad has sent him to check on his brothers to see how they fare. And he rolls up and he goes, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defieth the armies of the living God?" Then ends up going down into battle after and talking to King Saul and telling King Saul how God had protected David in the past against the lion and the bear. And he continues on and says, "This Philistine will be like the lion and the bear." Why? Because of the God that David served. Now that relationship with God, it didn't just start on the battlefield with David. This relationship with God went back to when David was even watching the sheep for his father. You say, "How do I know that?" Well, because he says that the hand of the Lord protected him when he was dealing with the lion and with the bear. We know that his relationship with God was deeper than just a surface level. Okay, can I challenge you today that if you are going to live wisely in a foolish world, you must have a relationship with God. Okay, if you do not have a relationship with God, then you're going to be just like the fools that run around in this world. You say, "What do you mean?" They have no guide. They have no setting or bearing of where they're supposed to go. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his goings." Okay, you think through this. The Bible continues on in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, where it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Why? To show me where I'm going. Okay, having a relationship with God, this is not something that David just decided and set in chapter number 17. I think about, for examples that we have here, We could go back to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. No doubt some of us have this hanging inside of our house with verse number 15, where the Bible says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," these next words we probably all could quote, "choose you this day whom you will serve." Joshua had made a decision and said at the end of it, he said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Okay, there was a decision that was made, and can I challenge us here this morning, young people, old people, middle-aged people, whatever age you are, make a decision to have a relationship with God. Okay, whether that's, for some of us, it might be starting with one day a week sitting down and reading our Bibles. Can I tell you, if you're not reading your Bible at all in the week, one day a week would be better than last week. Okay. Read your Bible, pray, talk to God. Why? Because we got to start somewhere. Can I tell you, my relationship with my wife did not just start with me going, "Hey, will you marry me?" You know why? Because she would have looked at me and went, "You crazy." And she'd be right. But it didn't just start there. Okay, in looking at this, I see three things about David's relationship that we can apply in our lives. In looking at this, David's relationship here, it was a personal relationship. The Bible says at the end of chapter number 17, the Bible says this in verse 55, "And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, 'Abner, whose son is this youth?' And Abner said, 'As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell.' And the king said, "Inquire thou whose son the stripling is." And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine. And Saul said unto him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And David answered, "I am a son of thy servant, Jesse, the Bethlehemite." Jump down with me to 1 Samuel 18. This is the problem when you put a quote in your notes and don't put the reference right beside it. Regardless, it was a personal relationship David had with God Almighty. Why? Because you can see over and over in David's life where it was, this statement was made of David, "The Lord is with him." Okay, can I challenge you in our walks and in our lives with the Lord? People can tell when God is with us. People can tell when you walk in and you have a peace about you because God has Almighty has intervened in your life and you've been able to see how God has worked in your heart and your life. Can I challenge you this morning? I'm going to just challenge us this morning. Okay. When you have a personal relationship with God, there's a difference that is made. I think about the examples in Scripture. You go over to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6. When Isaiah came into the presence of God, it affected his countenance. It affected his demeanor. It affected his actions. He fell on his face and said, "Oh, woe that I am, sinful man that I am." You go over to the book, looking at in the book of Genesis, dealing with Moses. Actually, the book of Exodus, dealing with Moses. When Moses was up on Mount Sinai and came back down with the tablets of stone, that he came down and his face had shone. Why? Because he had been in the presence of God. You go over to the New Testament, you look at Peter, and it was spoken of him and another disciple that they could say that the Lord was with them. Okay, can that be said of us? Can that be said, you going out working at the job that you're working at and saying, "Hey, if I have something that goes wrong in my house, I know that he'll pray for me." Could that be said? Having a personal relationship with the Lord. This was the type of relationship we ought to have. It ought to be personal. It's a relationship that is unique to us. Not only was it a personal relationship with the Lord, but it was also a private relationship with the Lord. How many people were out with David while he was watching the sheep? As far as we know, it was just David. It's a private relationship with the Lord. Can I tell you that there are some things in my relationship with God that they're private? Okay, that I talk to God about the things that are right down deep inside, things that I wouldn't talk to just anybody about. There are things that I'll go to God in the days that I'm having trouble with anger and saying, "Lord, what in the world is going on?" Why? Because I want to behave wisely in a foolish world. Why? Because I want to be in control. I want to be walking prudently in honor and glory to God Almighty. Okay? When you look through this, the personal and then the private relationship, but then not only was it personal and private, but it was also a powerful relationship. Okay, do you realize that the power that God gives each and every one of us to walk on a daily basis? Like we can stand, if I were to ask us to stand together, I'm not going to ask you to, we've been up and down all afternoon service, I promise. If I were to ask us to stand up, most of us would have the power to stand. Okay? Then we'd have the power to sit. If we go out to our cars, start them up, you know what happens? Most of them, hopefully, have the power to start. Following? The power that God has inside of us to be able to work through each and every day in the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to continue on and say, "Hey, why?" Because I've got a relationship with God. We're coming off of one of the biggest conspiracy days in the year. You say, "Oh, it's Valentine's Day." Card companies and flower companies get together and they said, we're going to have a national holiday to sell as many cards and flowers. Now, you want to know what I bought for my wife? I didn't buy her card, honestly. I forgot about the card. But I bought her flowers. What? We don't do cards. I think one time we walked in and we actually went and like both stood in the card aisle. Okay. Okay. She gives me more cards than I give her. I'll be honest. But we're coming off of a day that we have a personal relationship with our wives. And so what do? We show them that we love them. Okay. That relationship is a powerful relationship. Why? Because there are things that I would do for my wife that I wouldn't do for the rest of you. That if my wife said, hey, can you run and go get me this? To the rest of you, I'd go, really? Now, full transparency, I made the statement this morning, and you guys heard me, and you guys know my heart. I'm using that as an example. If you were to call me and you need something, I will go take care of it. This is not me saying, okay, hey, good luck, guys. But it's a powerful relationship there. The relationship that David had with God, it was a powerful relationship. How do I know that? Because God gave him the power to overcome a lion and to overcome a bear, then ultimately overcome a giant of the Philistines. Okay? It was a powerful relationship. We see this evidenced many times. Okay, but not only in number one, should we have a relationship with God to live wisely in a foolish world, but number two, what we ought to do is surround ourselves with God-minded people. Surround ourselves with God-minded people. You say, well, where do you see that in David's life? Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 18, it says, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Okay, then verse number 3, and Jonathan made a covenant. Jonathan and David made a covenant, and he loved him as his own soul. In looking at this, surrounding ourselves with God-minded people, in our text, David's soul was knit with Jonathan's soul. It's interesting when you start to examine the friendship between David and Jonathan, we can see that it is a God-conscious friendship. It is a generous friendship. It is a gracious friendship. When looking at this relationship that they have, Jonathan, if you were to, let's take our mind off of David for a second and focus on Jonathan. Jonathan was focused on God in his life as well. If we were to go back to 1 Samuel chapter number 14 and verse number 6, where Jonathan was fixing to go out to battle, the Bible says this. It says, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. You continue on later on in Jonathan's life. We see him come by in 1 Samuel chapter number 23 and verse number 16. We're getting to that in Sunday school. And so 1 Samuel 23 verse number 16, you see Jonathan strengthen David's hand in the Lord. Okay, when you surround yourself with godly and God-minded people, it is a strength that would otherwise not necessarily be there. Can I challenge you? Catchphrases. The challenge here this morning, how to live wisely in a foolish world. If we're out there by ourselves, we're going to be easy pickings. I saw a picture earlier this week. It was of a group of zebras, and the caption said, you've got the group of zebras in the background, and then you've got a cheetah chasing one lone zebra. And it said, and the background said that it was the church. And the front one said, I'm okay out here by myself. And then it showed Satan as the cheetah going after the one. Let's relay this. When we're surrounding ourselves with God-minded people, we're strong. The Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says, wherein there's no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I think through this and say, surround yourself with God-minded people. Why? Because if you're surrounding yourself with God-minded people, then hey, when you're weak, you're going to have somebody who comes alongside of you and says, hey man, why don't we pray together? Hey man, here's what the Bible says. Hey man, why don't we go do this instead? Why? Because I'll be honest with you, we're flesh and bone. We're weak, just like the next guy. when we're together, surrounding ourselves with God-minded people, when you surround yourself with godly people, you will see yourself living wisely in a foolish world. All throughout David's life, we see David surround himself with godly people. You say, what do you mean by that? We see the prophets coming alongside David. We see him surrounding himself with the priests. We see him surrounding himself with guys like Jonathan. Okay. When you see David fall, who was around David? No one. Why? What do you mean by that? When David fell with Bathsheba, where was he? He was on the top of his house with no one with him. When you surround yourself with godly people, you'll live wisely in a foolish world. Why? Because there's strength in a multitude of counselors. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. Okay? Last point and then we're done. Number three. How to live wisely in a foolish world. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. That's probably the hardest one. Why? Because if we're being honest, all of us like to quit. We do. You say, what do you mean by that? All of us like to quit. If I'm trying to build a Lego set back at the house, my wife will watch me build my Lego set. Okay, some of y'all are laughing. You're never too old for Legos, unless you're 100. Okay, because it says like 5 to 99 on the box. Okay, just kidding. Okay. My wife will watch me building a Lego set. I'll get halfway through that thing, and it's frustrating at times. Because I'm sitting there, and my fingers are too big for some of these pieces that need to go on to these little, like, Jedi starfighters. Okay? And I'm sitting there trying to pop this little thing on, and you know what I want to do? And be done. Why? Because I'd rather quit. Okay? And you know what? In all love and kindness, that Miss Amy will come alongside me and she'll go, you might want to put that down for a few minutes. And I'm sitting there going, but it needs to get done. Doesn't need to get done. Remember, multitude of counselors, there is safety. It might be safety for the counselors too. Okay, throwing a bunch of Legos, explode. Okay. One, Miss Amy's my witness. I have not thrown anything that I've been building with Legos. Okay, why? Because that's a lot of work. Okay, and for that to explode and then you try to find the pieces again, come on, guys. Okay. Among the multitude of counselors, there is safety. But then number three, be faithful. Okay, the Bible says in the New Testament, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If you continue on in chapter number 18 here, let's turn the page, verses number 12 and 13. The Bible says this, and Saul was afraid of David. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Hey, there's that verse we were looking for earlier. Because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him a captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Can I tell you that if David stopped behaving himself wisely back at the beginning of chapter number 18, we wouldn't have gotten to the middle of chapter number 18. David was faithful in behaving himself wisely. And this is our challenge here this afternoon of saying, hey, if you want to behave wisely in a foolish world, because believe it or not, the world is foolish out there. Okay? If you don't believe it, that's on you. Okay? The world is foolish. And to behave ourselves wisely, we have to have a relationship with God. We need to surround ourselves with godly people, God-minded people. But then we need to be faithful. Okay, I know that it's hard too. I was out of church last Sunday because I was sick. I woke up in the morning. I got up at my normal time to be able to start getting ready, and Miss Amy was waking up and getting rolling as well. And I'm coming out of the bathroom. And I looked at her, and went, my voice was like this. That's what it sounded like. And you say, oh, Brother Peter, you'll be fine. You come into the church. It was rough. I would have been up here leading singing. You wouldn't have heard a thing. Teenagers, we would have had a reenactment of a few weeks ago where we were upstairs here for Sunday school. I would have been like, you guys got to listen really close because I'm going to teach Sunday school here this morning and I don't have a... So under the advisement of pastor as well, I decided better off to stay home. You realize how hard it was to sit back at home and miss what's going on here at our church. You realize how hard that was? I literally sat there watching the live stream, and for those of you who don't know, I watch it on two or three different devices. Why? Because I'm watching it everywhere. So I can see how it's transmitting. That's just how my brain works. And I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm sitting here going, I'm just missing out. Why? Because I want to be a part. There's something about being a part. Something about being here, being around the people of God. Why? Because it's encouraging. Miss Amy can attest to it. This week, it was a long week. Honestly, by the time Tuesday came, we're sitting here going, when is church coming? Because we're sitting here going, we missed it on Sunday. I was encouraged. I know they're not here this afternoon because of some sickness. But I was encouraged last night, yesterday at the men's prayer breakfast. I got the opportunity to sit down with Jake Otto. And we got to talk. And you talk about encouraging from a young Christian. And he's looking at me going, yeah. So me and the wife, we're making it a point to try to stay for all the services. And you say, well, he's not here this afternoon. There's sickness, okay? In case you missed it, people are out to sickness. Okay, there are people in the hospital, people are down, okay? But it's encouraging that even as a young Christian, he understands, hey, I need to be there. I don't want to miss it. Why? That's where we're getting fed. That's where we're getting nutrients. That's where we're surrounded by God-minded people. It wouldn't be out of the normal for me to look down here and go, hey, Brother Nate, can we pray about this? Why? Because I'm surrounded by people that I know would pray. It'd be weird if I was down at the Residence Inn here in Concord, New Hampshire, and I just looked at one of the random guests and said, hey, can we pray about this? Now, those of you who know me know that I do that kind of often because that's just how I work. But they're not expecting somebody to just go, we're going to pray about this? We're surrounded by God-minded people here. Among the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Okay, don't be afraid to look at your brothers and sisters in Christ and go, hey, I'm struggling with this. It's a foolish world out there, and I'm trying to live wisely as best as I can. Okay, but stay faithful. I'll close with this verse. These two verses. 1 Timothy 1:12, the Bible says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. That was Paul talking. Said that God counted him faithful, put him into the ministry. You say, why are you bringing up Paul? Well, because I'm going to bring up the next person too. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. These next four words. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Why am I saying, hey, we need to be faithful? Because we're trying to be like God. God's faithful. And can I tell you, that's how we live wisely in a foolish world. David was surrounded by foolishness. How do I know that? Saul was throwing javelins at his head every other time we see in the scriptures. Okay? If you want to think about foolishness, it's just all the time. Can you imagine if Brother Peter's up here leading music and every time something went wrong, pastor just pulled out a javelin and threw it from behind? Okay? Y'all sitting up here, you're laughing because you're like, that's funny. Okay? No, it would not be funny. Okay? But imagine how that would go. the foolishness surrounding David, yet to live wisely in that world.